All lines are now bridged.
All right, thank you, and good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to the Interoperability Standards Priorities Task Force. I'm Mike Berry with ONC, and we really appreciate you joining us today. And on behalf of ONC, I really want to thank our co-chairs, Arian Malik and David McCauley, and all the task force members for doing such a great job and getting ready for our presentation of recommendations to the HITACH on June 9th. I know they've been working very diligently behind the scenes. We really appreciate it. So I'm going to open up today's meeting with roll call, and I'll start with our co-chairs, Arian Malik.
Good morning and or afternoon.
David McCauley.
Hello.
Ricky Bloomfield. Cynthia Fisher. Valerie Gray. Jim Gerges.
Present.
Edward June. Ken Kamoto. Victor Lee.
Here.
Leslie Leonard.
Present.
Clem McDonald.
Here.
Jack Poe. Saj Swatwani. Ram Sharam. Sasha Termott.
Hello.
And Andy Truscott. And I know we have some members joining us as I speak, and so I will capture their names in our attendance. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to our co-chairs, Arian and David. Thank you.
Woohoo. We made a bunch of progress over the weekend, and I think are pretty close to a good, clean draft. I am sure that there are typos and corrections and words that need more smithing, but I feel like we're pretty close to being something presentable. Now, that being said, this will be the meeting where it all falls apart because I said that. So I'm prepared for it. But anyway, I shouldn't even have opened. We've made a lot of changes, and they require a lot of review, and it's going to be really controversial. So let's walk through it. All right, so I think what we're going to do is just go through the transmittal draft, talk about where we made changes in response to task force member input, and highlight potentially any areas that need additional feedback. Y'all should have gotten both the clean copy and the marked up copy in your email on Monday. So we should be able to walk through this and hopefully narrow in on any areas that require additional wordsmithing. So if we go into the next page, which is table of contents, which I'll have to rebuild. All right, so background. We were pretty pro forma on the mandate. So we can decide whether we want to get more fancy with the background, the charge, and in the additional background information, David put together a summary of who we talked to and who did presentations.
Arian, I will remind you that we need to edit in a few corrections to Alex Goss's details.
Yep.
There, she sent us an email. Those are not yet captured. So we,
okay.
Alex, we got that. We'll fix that.
Cool. Thank you. And then we reformatted the draft recommendations into an executive summary that goes through the introduction, which covers how we prioritized input, where we deferred to the public health data systems task force, and where we believe a future incarnation of the ISP task force should explore. And then we basically put together the same high-level recommendations. I'm just going to pause there on this portion of the executive summary, and then we'll go back through the high-level recommendations. Any comments, feedback, anything here? All right. Let's go through the high-level recommendations. I don't think we changed. We didn't change anything here, and probably should have. In later sections in the detailed recommendations, we actually did detailed cross-references to the underlying standards. Let me just scan this one to make sure we didn't miss anything when we did this. Fire CDS hook, I think, is appropriate. I think it's Fire subscriptions. Anyway, and then if we go down a little farther, there may be some work here to do to clean up the terminology here and consistent with the more detailed recommendations. In fact, now that I'm looking at it, I'm pretty sure that there is. Major refactor to bullet two, where we pull out the recommendations on terminology. We reference OMB Circular A119 on voluntary consensus standards and design the policy goals. So I think I'm gonna read this one out and see if we captured what I think has been the right consistent intent of the task force, but where the words as Smith on the page may not have fully gotten at the nuance. So number one, we recommend that ONC work with other federal stakeholders to move the nation toward terminology standards that develop in accordance with OMB Circular A119 on voluntary consensus standards, comma, have licenses that allow open use by providers, researchers, developers, patients, and other stakeholders through national licensing where appropriate, comma, and are designed to address multiple needs, clinical care, research, administrative needs. I think I got this better in the later paragraph where I included public health and also the cross-mapping to international standards. So I think I want to take the later language and import it back up here. And then in areas where code sets did not conform to this policy or currently required by federal actors, we recommend that ONC work with key federal stakeholders, yada, 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 to either license codes nationally or transition the nation to more open terminology. So I'm going to pause there, noting that I have a better turn on this later in the document that calls out sort of these four items as four separate bullets. Feedback, and I see Clem's hand is up.
At first, could you make the font just a little bigger? Let me just up the size a bit. A notch.
Yeah.
Secondly, so I still would rather have it not bring up either maybe licensing, you know, as a last resort, as national licensing, or somehow not make it so prominent.
Got it.
I mean, pushing for the open, you know, we're going to have to do some licensing, no question, but putting the onus on open would help. You know, they got to be open would be helpful, I think, for the future.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, good feedback.
But again, I think, you know, you've done pretty good word crafting. I hope your whole life isn't consumed by that. You have
just the off hours on the weekends.
Just the free time, right?
Yep. Okay, so great point. Thank you. And as I said, I think the later crack at this is actually a better crack at this. So when we get there, we'll go through it. I don't think that there's I think we clarified promulgate policy to ensure that data are captured in a normalized way as early to source as possible, which I think comes out of the task force feedback.
Well, just slight suggestion there is close to the source maybe is, I don't know whether earlier close.
Yeah, close. Okay.
Or is close. I mean, the word upstream has been used in other contexts. Or maybe you even need an example, you know, like is to make it really clear.
Yeah, I think we do an example in the detailed section. So
okay.
Get the detail, but close rather than early makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of these strange mappings of 3D space onto process workflows. Okay,
Dave, you're sort of frowning a little bit, I think, or maybe you're just looking down.
No, I'm just looking down.
No, Dave.
Oh, Dave. He's just taking notes.
Just taking notes and squinting at the screen and dealing with bifocals when you have a screen in front of you and a notebook in front of you, different distances.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Any other feedback so far? Pause. You beat. Okay. Let's see. I think the rest of this stuff is unchanged. I really should be looking at my at the marked up version in parallel just to make sure I'm capturing all of the changes. And so as I say that, I'm going to go do that in parallel. David, maybe you can walk us through while I'm looking up the marked up version.
Yeah. So are we're on point. I lost track here. Early possible expense, pragmatic approach. Yeah, okay, pragmatic approach. Yeah, so yeah. I think there's a discussion area in that I left. I queued up some questions to you in my reaction to your first draft around the language, like some language inconsistency on the common research model.
Yep.
And maybe we need to view the whole scope of the things we say about that because there's a little bit of inconsistency that we need to reconcile, I
yep.
think. So I'll just flag that we're a little bit unclear on what common means.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. So I don't see any other changes in this section. So maybe we go on to the next section, which is list of specific recommendations. Yep.
I didn't put my hand up. I apologize. No, the issue of the disparities and all. So I was on a call with the public health task group.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about consuming one's life, all these task groups. But what came up, well, firstly, I think they have maybe 30 items, and they're a little bit crisscrossed a bit. But one that came out strong was that public health or the registration part of, the B2 message isn't going to the right people. It's not going along with the order. And it seems like that just sort of standards, and they don't know why. I mean, no one explains whether it's because people think it's privacy or whatever. I don't know whether to get this, to this point about the disparities, we got to know who it is.
Yeah. I think we addressed this. So again, hold that thought as well, because I do think we addressed this.
Okay.
In the more detailed section.
Can we propose studies? Because partly what's missing is, and a lot of these things where things aren't working, is not enough is known about the why.
Yeah. I was involved early on in the Duke Margolis group that looked particularly at this area. And our conclusion at the time, and I think Sasha provided some feedback based on her experience with deployed EHRs, was to the effect that the information is available at the source when the order is conducted.
Mm-hmm.
And it is dropped in the integration engine when the order is sent to the lab. And that dropping is intentional, but it's, so I think that's the fact. I think the interpretation is that the lab does not require the demographic information, and in anything in interoperability, it's burdensome and problematic to give it. There may be some minimum necessary determination, but I think more likely it's, hey, if I don't have to send it, it's a pain in the butt to set up an integration engine to send the information over. But that in these cases, it's an intentional drop in the integration engine from the order in the EHR all the way to the lab. Sasha, I know you had some previous comments in this area.
Yeah, I had done some investigation. Are you able to hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Confusing myself with technology. I had done some investigation based on early concerns that the demographics information wasn't making it to public health, and that had been the most frequent scenario that we encountered, covering the vast majority of cases where the demographics weren't preserved.
Yep. So we make specific recommendations later in this document to this point. We should, when we get there in the detailed section, we should we should pick that topic up. And we might want to put it in the executive summary as well.
Well, Sasha, is that because the minimum necessary? What do you know, or do you know the why?
The impression I got, and I never spoke with some of the labs that lab software that did this specifically, but was just that it hadn't bothered to be configured.
Oh, okay. Well, it should be fixable then.
Yeah. It's interoperability is a pain in the butt. All right, let's go on to the next section. So we'll pick this up because I do think it's explicitly called out later. So here we, in terms of edits, we yanked out the high-level recommendations in the executive summary, included cross-references to CDS hooks, FHIR subscriptions, FHIR questionnaire, FHIR consent. And again, I need to take the language here and make it consistent in the high-level recommendations because that's a miss. The task force notes these standards are at various levels of maturity with CDS hooks for at least some trigger types being the most advanced. And I've got a parenthesis issue here. The programmer in me is intensely bothered by this. It's a closed parenthesis with no matching open. So I'm going to pause here. This was task force input from last time.
Did you take out subscriptions? Is that what you said?
No, we did not take out subscription. We said triggering asynchronous workflows via FHIR subscription rather than subscriptions, and we did a cross-reference to FHIR subscription.
Okay, never mind.
Yep. Okay, and I'm going back to my so we did a little bit of wordsmithing in the recommendation section, but nothing significant. Broader maturity, production, adoption, and eventual incorporation and certification criteria. Okay, foundational standards. The big change that we have here is that under the task a little farther. Okay. This paragraph, the task force recommends that ONC clarify that expanded US CDI definitions apply to bulk FHIR. The task force believes that expanding the standardized export of codified clinical and research data via bulk FHIR is preferable to having researchers rely on non-standard EHR data dumps. So included that as a paragraph based on task force feedback. Most everything here is itsy-bitsy, edits for clarity. And then, David, maybe you want to start the conversation on our consistency on research data models and how we want to talk about them, because this is where your comment came in.
Yeah, so I think in the earlier section, we refer to either A or the common research data model. And here we refer to broadly disseminated research data models, plural. And I think in one other place, we have slightly yet different language. So maybe this is more confusion in my own head, but I'm not exactly sure. We have this nice paragraph later on about not calling for a meta model, whatever you can do, I can do meta. That quote is in there. So I think we're pretty clear. We're not calling for a meta model, but what are we calling for exactly? And is it A, V, or a parsimonious support of the minimum necessary? We need some clarity, I think.
So we could solve for that clarity by taking the no meta models point and bumping it up here. And reiterating it. And again, this is one of these nuanced things of, I don't think we're calling for CDISC for all the things, make everything a clinical trial. I think what we're calling for is something pragmatic that allows for people doing pragmatic research to be able to do it more efficiently. But we are calling for, harmonization in one as opposed to meta models. But I am more than open, if this is just a matter of, lifting stuff from later into earlier that clarifies the point, that's awesome. If there's better wording that we want, because I think we do generally agree with what we want, if there's better wording that expresses what we want, that would be fantastic.
So I'm gonna scroll down, Arianne. I'm taking the screen here and scroll down to the language where we are most specific. In number five, we can come back, remember where we were, and just see what we like or don't like about, I'm trying to find place, recommend supported catalog. Yeah, so the language here, which I think originated in some form with Les Leonard, probably modified many times through, but Task Force recommends that ONC support the catalog of common research data models such as in the ISA and work with stakeholders to evaluate, develop, and harmonize to a common foundational research model mapped to USCBI core map, cross map to FHIR. So it's cataloging the individual ones and working with stakeholders to develop and harmonize to a common foundational research model. Is that language okay with the group?
Clem has his hand up.
Well, I worry that it's going to suggest a meta model. I mean, I think what we really would like to see is come to one model, and that can happen two ways. You can do this meta stuff, and then it doesn't really necessarily get you where, or you can let the market shake it out. And there is some direction like that already, so I don't know how you can say that in this kind of a document.
Yeah, I think what we're saying here is keywords here that came out of this, the task force feedback. Number one is support the catalog of common research models, work with stakeholders to evaluate, develop, harmonize, and then just the clarity of we don't want another model.
Yeah, I mean, Clem, I agree with you that the best way for this to get solved is by market forces, the people that are actually doing the research, picking the best approach. But I'm reasonably comfortable that this language is okay with that. I mean, to me, what needs to happen is clarity from FHIR point of view about what data goes where in the FHIR resources. And if you reassemble those FHIR resources back into a relational style model, in other words, you tie the resources back together, what does it look like? How do you do that and ensure that it's correct? And then the various instantiations can leverage that knowledge to make sure they're doing it properly.
Yeah, the best approach that was done nationally for this was actually FHIR and FHIR-based APIs originally, where ONC basically said, look, at some point we're going to mandate the use of APIs, and we'd sure like it if y'all figured out how to do that in a good and elegant way before we started the mandate, but we're just going to mandate it one way or the other. So this combination of the regulatory hammer, but with enough time for stakeholders to go figure it out and figure it out on the ground has been a useful trick. But yeah, I think we generally agree with what we want, and let's just make sure the words on the page say what we want. Clem, go ahead. Sorry.
Well,
actually, Les is ahead of you in the in the hand raising. Clem, sure. Go ahead, Les.
Yeah. Hey, I just wanted to say that I think you're right that the object-oriented part of FHIR is very valuable, because to specify those in a relational model is tricky. And I just put a link into a paper that we've just had accepted at Jamia on mapping from FHIR to OMOP and to PCORnet simultaneously and instantly using subscriptions. So
yep, cool.
So I want to make sure you're aware there is already a meta model. It's called Bridge.
Yep.
It was done. There was a little bit involved with NLM, but not me. And you know, it was the classic, not good out. I don't think good outcome. You know, in fact, and it was mostly. It was very strongly dominated by CDISC.
Yep.
So I sure don't want to have that happen again. I'm almost worried about recommending and listing them all because they'll keep on fighting. I think the reality is OMOP has been adopted by two or three large projects at NIH. You know, there's sort of that, some of the market sort of a thing. And I think PCORNA isn't that far off. I've worked with that too. They just don't have money to make any changes. I mean, and I think we already know that FHIR and HL7 are kind of trying to get married. We're not going to make OMOP become all FHIR because that would kill it. But there's some of the objects line up pretty well, you know. So I don't know.
We heard specifically from George Tripsack about OMOP's project with HL7. In particular, George told me that he's working very closely with Graham Grieve and that it's been extremely valuable to OMOP to get Graham's perspective on how FHIR data should be used and what does it mean when it's in a certain position and in certain resources. So I took that as, you know, that this is valuable work. People appreciate it. People that are very smart and, have been very successful still think it's useful work to happen. So I think what we're trying to do here is to encourage more of that, but without picking a winner. We don't have the authority to pick the winner, probably the knowledge.
No, but it might even be better not to mention them all. I don't know.
I think all we're saying here when we look at it is hey, there's a bunch of these out here. So maybe we could remove these such as. We recommend that ONC support the catalog of common research models and work with stakeholders to evaluate, develop, and harmonize their common foundational research model, map to the US CDI and cross-map to FHIR, which I think is what we're calling for. And then we're explicitly not calling for metamodels. And so maybe if we just remove the iteration of common research data models, that helps address some of the concerns here.
Well, but we could also possibly say encourage the continued interactions between the more popular, encourage continued interactions or what's more than that, the cooperation between some of these models.
Got it. Cool. So when we say work with stakeholders, it's support the existing work to evaluate, develop, and harmonize to a common foundational research model.
Yeah, that's cool.
All right. Good. Okay. So and then like all of these things, we should do a pass of lifting the wordsmith language that we have in the detail back to the summary to make sure the summary actually is a summary of what we have in the detail. All right. Let's go back up to where we were, which let me see if I can pull up where we were. So foundational standards terminology.
I'll scroll us back. We were in three, I believe.
Yep. Exactly. Okay. So our inner findings.
Foundational models terminology.
Yep. So we want to use as close to rather than as early. As close to source creation as possible. If we go into the next, the implied mandate to use coding systems that were not designed by voluntary consensus process. I might want to word this one a little bit because I don't want to suggest that existing standards are not being designed by voluntary consensus processes, but we can wordsmith this one. Okay, so recommendations. Here's where we break out the policy into four subdesiderata. establish policies and move this nation towards terminal-like standards that are developed in accordance with OMB Circular A119 on voluntary consensus standards, have licenses that allow open use by providers, researchers, developers, patients, and other stakeholders, claim we can remove through national licensing where appropriate, are designed to address multiple needs, and this is where I need to reconcile the language because we include clinical care, research, public health, and administrative needs, and are international or cross-map the international standards to allow for multi-regional pooled research. And then we say in areas where code sets that do not conform to this policy are currently required by federal actions, we recommend that ONC work with key federal stakeholders to either, and then this is where we want to make sure that, that you know, make the point on addressing our policy goals. And we want to be careful that we're not stating that we should switch terminology. We want to be careful that we want to state that we should be moving towards a terminology, set of terminology systems that meet our policy goals. So I'm just going to pause here. This is a sensitive topic. And, you know, the AMA has put out some comment to the task force. I'd note that this policy goal has been consistent over time, both in the HITECH and in previous incarnations in the HIT Standards Committee. And there have been a number of standards development organizations that previously had licensing fees that have moved to more open processes, HL7 being the predominant example. And there are other organizations, NCPDP, X12, where we still could use some work in aligning towards this process. And I guess the last sort of meta comment is everyone acknowledges that standards work requires funding and a sustainable business model. Historically, that sustainable business model has occurred through licensing, and I think it's been the general sense that licensing code sets or value sets, licensing specifications, ends up impeding innovation and progress and interoperability, and that we want to find alternative mechanisms to do so. So this work is consistent and aimed broadly and not specifically. That being said, does this language express what we want and need? I see no hands up. I'm interpreting that as alignment.
Arian, are you striking the through national licensing when you ask for the vote on
yes.
the wording or the consensus
yes.
on the wording?
Yeah,
because I'm okay with that language there because it is the path of least resistance and is actually quite feasible, given the deeply embedded nature of some of the proprietary languages. They don't just change overnight.
I just think we want to be clear that we're not prescribing the how, and I think Clem's point is if we're calling for national licensure and we're calling for NLM to do the national licensure because they've done it before, but there's no budget for NLM to do it, then you know we're
yeah
we're
well we're not backwards. We don't mention NLM, we don't mention any specific language, any specific terminology. The terminology that's on the back of our minds is actually would be the purview of CMS, not NLM.
That's right.
I'm not bothered by the NLM budget issue.
Yep.
I think that it's a logical path forward that, you know, kind of keeps everybody happy. As an interim step.
We can wordsmith it and hopefully, you know, make it more clear this is by way of example, not by policy directive. Clem, go ahead. Clem, that's the mute button.
Yeah, muted.
Okay,
so well, I mean, the goal is to really push this open stuff. And what I think we could do two things. We could say encourage the federal government to support these vocabulary standards as needed to make them successful. You know, that could be, you know, we aren't given easy outs. And it'll come out probably the same as Dave has suggested. But rather than
I like that notion, Clem, support. I think that captures what I'm talking about, yeah, and that avoids the license word. I'm okay with that.
And we keep sort of a moral pressure because, you know, ISO, for example, I don't want to pick on anybody, but they charge a lot for their specifications, and it impedes it. It really does.
It does.
Yeah, if you want everybody to do something, don't make it hard for them to do it. Now, granted, they got to get funded, so that's another story. That's another problem.
That's
WHO is also making ICD-11 free. So.
Yep, and again, there's success patterns, and then there's some notable exceptions, among which are CPTE and CPDP, X12. All right, but we're talking terminology here, so okay. Cool, that was good. So next sections, let me just go back to my little cheat sheet of where we did edits.
One loose end in the previous section, UCOM. That the little blue text there is a note I added because we had some discussion about UCOM and I couldn't remember what we decided, if we needed to mention it or we did not need to mention it.
Well,
my memory is we didn't need to mention it, but I wasn't sure.
Well, I think we do if we're going to do research with numbers. You know, the world.
We can mention UCOM in this section. So we recommend that ONC use direct levers to continue to standardize laboratory results terminology while working with related agencies of HHS, primarily FDA and CMS. And then here's where we put some ads, and we could mention UCOM as well here. To correctly code laboratory data to LOINC, maybe we could do LOINC and UCOM. And then I put in the parentheses or other relevant terminology such as SNOMED CT for microbiology samples. And then put in the cross-reference to the previous ISP task force deliberations and recommendations.
Well, I think if you mention UCOM, you ought to say for units of measure, because I don't think everyone would necessarily know.
Okay. Yep. That's fair. Okay. We recommend that ONC directly and through coordination with CMS harmonize procedural code of standards to standards meeting policy goals listed above. And then whatever language we use in terms of support the transition, we want to do here as well. All right. So UCOM we already addressed. If we go on to the next page. I think the only change here was replacing NDC for such purposes in the ONC work with FDA and CMS to harmonize, yada, yada, yada. Health equity. David put a really nice preamble, which is in this first paragraph, the task force found, yada, yada, yada. The task force recommends, the second paragraph, task force recommends that ONC ensure that ISA track the interoperability priorities identified by the Gravity Project is new. And here we go. So Clem, this is all to your point. Task force recommends that ONC implement policy to ensure deployment of associated interoperability specifications and EHR certification requirements to prioritize the capture and exchange of demographic and contact data for multiple purposes, including public health. All right, this whole as example is to this point. As example, where current exchange of non-standard laboratory orders and results is being conducted without exchange of data needed to assess health disparities, modernizing to use standards and implementation guidance, e.g. LOI, LRI interfaces, would also address appropriate data exchange, demographic and address information, should be contact information. And then we made sure to say appropriate data exchange so that we're not calling for information to be transferred whenever. So I'm going to pause there. That was very deliberate to provide by way of explanation. And call it this. Go ahead.
Well, that may not be specific enough to target the current problem, which is really pretty simple. You know, that the PID segment doesn't go with the orders, or, you know, you wouldn't want to say it that way. But, I mean, it's really that they're not sending the content in the medical record of the registration data along with the order.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what's intended by is being conducted without exchange of data needed to assess health disparities. So maybe we could be more specific.
It's pretty demographic.
If Sasha's
content really makes it kind of simple, but I'm afraid they won't get it if we don't make it risk crisp.
Yep. Okay.
At least as an add-on, maybe it doesn't have to go away. The rest of it, just say, and at least send the demographics that comes in the registration.
Demographic information that exists in the registration system. Yep.
Along with the orders for test.
Yep. Okay. And then last sentence here, task force presumes that addition to USCDI of further data on demographics and SDOH will be accompanied by expansions of implementation guidance to transmit that data where appropriate in accordance with individual preferences and directives. And that came out of the discussion last time. No other changes here. Okie doke. No changes all the way through the EHR data use for research section, with the exception of anything that we do, we just want to be consistent on the common research data models point. I think this is the actual point where we discussed this point, so we're back to there. And then we amended the word gaps to opportunities with respect to ONC should work with stakeholders to assess other EHR opportunities relative to research. And otherwise, no other additions here. So we need to make sure that I think the major change we're going to do is not call out the enumeration of all models in this paragraph, and then make the previous summary recommendations more consistent to these points. I'm going to pause and wait a few beats. And hearing no comments, we already talked about the section harmonization of clinical and administrative data for burden reduction. So the findings section is new. We basically found the ICAD task force did a fine job. And not much change to our recommendations here. We did add the term related to the harmonization of clinical and administrative data in the first recommendations. And nothing else here. Alex, if you want to post to the public chat, if you're on, I don't know that she is. I think there's existing work that's going on between X12 and CPDP and HL7 that would be useful to make sure keeps getting done. Any comments here? Otherwise, we go into the next section. All right. And most of this was around our findings. We found that unclear policy and funding mechanisms led to a lack of readiness for emergency response, addition state-by-state variations, and expected data elements, data formats contributed to this lack of readiness, and a little bit of wordsmithing in the recommendation section, but nothing really significant. I'm going to pause and see if there's any comments here.
And despite my attempt to get Word to keep the paragraph heading with the paragraph text, I was unsuccessful.
Yeah, wrangling Word is not so easy. All right. I think that is it. I think that encompasses all of the edits that we did. I think we got some good feedback in this section. And
Everybody, check your name, spelling, and organization listing in Appendix A, and let us know if we got something wrong. There were some cut and paste errors before that had shifted everybody to a new career, and they didn't know it. So I think we fixed it. But
good, we're all senior folks, so we should be able to just switch into everybody else's job and do it just the same.
So Dave, I actually have gotten even less of a career on this page.
That's interesting. You're not listed there, are you?
Yeah.
Huh.
I think it's because you dropped out, and then the moment you dropped out, you came back in with a vengeance. So we'll make sure to.
I did. I thought I couldn't do one more committee, but you guys are doing good work. And the other.
I thought it meant he needed no introduction.
That's exactly right. That's true as well.
It's ex officio, present on all task forces.
Yeah.
The notorious CMD. All right. Somebody out there got that joke and appreciated it. So I think we got another editing pass. What I propose is that for our next meeting, we also focus on the opening PowerPoint and try to make sure that we've got a clean, close to final draft that we can all agree on. And if we're really, really good, we'll save ourselves a meeting.
You're a good team. No.
This is like the A team. We have a crazy plan that all comes together at the last moment. All right. I think we can open it up to public comment early, unless there's other deliberation we need to do. All right. Can we, if appropriate, can we open up to public comment?
Well, you sure can. We're a little early, so if some aren't ready to go into public comment, you're always welcome to email your written public comments to onc-hitac@accelsolutionsllc.com. But operator, in the meantime, can you open up the line for public comments?
Yes, of course. If you would like to make a comment, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press *2 if you would like to remove your line from the queue. And for participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up the handset before pressing the star keys. One moment while we pull for comments. There are no comments at this time.
Cool. And I just want to acknowledge the AMA, as I previously mentioned, did submit some public comment. Mike, I don't know what the appropriate is that published? Is that listed in our deliberation page somewhere?
Yes, it'll be added to last week's meeting minutes.
Awesome, cool. Just want to make sure that's part of the record. Good. Well, I guess we get to give everybody back some extra special time today.
Thank you, guys. You did a good job. I say it again.
Thank you.
Thanks, Clem.
Good feedback from the task force. Good engaged task force makes the work easy unless it makes it hard. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.